Good morning. Scripture reading today is page 823 of your Pew Bible, Matthew 17, 24 through 27. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it is so good to be in your house this morning. It is good to share in fellowship and worship, and it's good that you forgive us of our sins and love us in spite of ourselves. We just pray that our hearts and minds will be open to hear the message today, and we thank you for your love and care. In Jesus' name, amen. 1724. The temple tax. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the two drachma tax went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do you kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And when he said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." The word of God for the people of God.
There are some Monday mornings I look at the text and I think, what in the world am I going to say about this? Why didn't I think to add this on to when Mike was preaching instead? You know, why didn't I add it on to something else and just keep moving? But I've discovered over the years that sometimes the strangest things are the ones that, with a little digging, reveal the most. And so what Monday morning looked to be just a death and taxes and a fish story turned out to have the whole gospel here. It's the fullness of the gospel in this brief exchange, because it tells us a lot about who Jesus is and what he does for us. So let's look at what's going on here. Jesus has been with the disciples in the north, and he's making his way now to Jerusalem. He comes back into the area of Galilee and comes to Capernaum, which is where Peter's home is. This has been kind of a home base, and very likely that they're coming to Peter because they are at Peter's house. That's probably what's going on. But they're in Capernaum, and they come to him, and they ask these tax collectors. These are not Roman officials. These are Jewish officials who are upholding a religious tax, a civil tax. This isn't part of the Roman system. And they ask him, "Do you pay the didrachma, the two drachma tax?" And what this is an institution for the upkeep of the temple that was part of Moses' law. So Exodus chapter 30, verse 11 and following. The Lord said to Moses, "When you take the census of the people of Israel, then each shall give a ransom for his life to the Lord when you number them, that there be no plague among you when you number them. Each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. Half a shekel is an offering to the Lord. Everyone who is numbered in the census from 20 years old and upward shall give the Lord's offering. You shall make the atonement money from the people of Israel and give it to the service of the tent of meeting, that it might bring the people of Israel to remembrance before the Lord." So the idea was that they would pay this. It would go for the upkeep of the temple. And scholars say this was taken up in Jerusalem. That might have been what was going on with the money changers when Jesus clears the temple. But it would also have been where they go out into the villages a month or so before Passover. So Matthew's hearers probably realizing, oh, Passover is drawing near. Jesus is moving towards Jerusalem. That's what's going on. And so he's asked about this tax, which is an appropriate question for Jesus, who is challenging authority and raising questions. Because there were certain groups who said, well, the temple is corrupt. The temple is illegitimate. We're not going to pay this tax. And so the question is, are you going to pay the tax? Is your master teaching opposition against this tax? And strong expectation that people would pay this. And Simon says, yes, he'll pay it. And you might want to say, Simon, you have a bad habit of talking before talking to Jesus. That might itself be a good sermon. But anyway, he goes into the house, and Jesus immediately talks to him. And Jesus says, Simon, who do the kings of the earth expect taxes from? Their children or the strangers or others? Now, remember, one of the things Matthew does quite often is he contrasts earth and heaven, your father who is in heaven versus earthly fathers. You know, he knows how to give good gifts. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. And here we're reminded of the kings of the earth. And do they take taxes from their children? Do they tax their own household? I mean, this is, you know, a monarchy. They have authority. And no, they're not going to raise funds. The household has privileges. The sons and daughters of the king have, you know, privileges and expectations for everyone else doesn't apply to them. And so Simon says, from others. They don't take it from their household. That's exactly Jesus' point. And so he says, therefore, the sons are free. What Jesus is saying is who he is the Son of God. This temple tax is not for earthly, it's for the King of the universe, it's for God. And Jesus is saying, I am the Son of God, I'm free of this obligation. He doesn't ransom me. Just as an aside, every once in a while you'll find somebody who says, Jesus really didn't claim to be divine, Jesus really didn't claim to be all these things that we say. Those people don't know how to read the Bible. Jesus is saying, here, he is the son of the king who rules over the temple. He is outside of the obligations. He's more than a human. He is indeed the Son of God. You almost have the image of, you know, I don't know if you've had experience of children being in places that they're very used to. Like, you know, my kids have always been used to church. They run around and kind of make the place at home. And little old ladies sometimes get upset about that. Not here, of course, but, you know, that's just one of the things. Maybe you have an office and you've brought your children in when they were little, and, you know, they're at home in great places. And I almost have the image here of, here's the holy temple. No one is allowed inside the temple itself except for priests. And there's the Holy of Holies, right, where only the high priest can go once a year. Everyone has said, you don't have access. And here is Jesus. He's the Son. He could just stroll anywhere he wanted to. You know, I mean, he just has access. He can go anywhere. Nothing is off limits for him. He is free. And so he's saying he is the Son. He has this freedom. These things aren't required of him. But then he says, well, let's not give offense, though. And he says, go down, throw a hook in the sea. And the first fish you get, it's going to have a coin in its mouth. It's going to be a shekel. It's going to pay for you and me. Didrachma is half a shekel. And now, one of the things, weird thing, you know, just go and fish. There's kind of tales of this thing happening. Now, scholars point out that normally when Jesus commands a miracle, we're told of how that miracle was performed. That there's this sense of where Jesus says, you know, go into the town and you'll meet a man. And they did. They went to town. They met a man. That sort of thing. And they said, you know, the absence of it here, it might not be that Jesus is actually performing a miracle and saying, go there. It might just be almost like, where do you want me to get this money? Just out of the air? I mean, the whole point is that he doesn't have the money. He's not going to get it here, that he has to look for it elsewhere. And so it might be that he's just kind of making a playful joke about the lack of money, though certainly God could do this as a miracle. And I think he's pointing to something greater than just getting a coin. Jesus is fully the Son of God. All honor and glory and power are his. He has all freedom. There's nothing off limits for him. And he has total access. And we've just been told this. This follows after the Transfiguration, where God reveals his glory and speaks and says, this is my beloved Son. He's reminding us who Jesus is. And Jesus is saying, I am the Son. God's obligations aren't owed for me. I don't owe this. I don't owe this because I'm not to be ransomed. I have no obligations and I'm free. And yet, I'm going to identify with those who do owe this. I'm going to pay the tax. I don't have to. What we see is we see very much what Jesus continually does. I didn't have to come in the flesh, but I did. I came and I was born and I was flesh and blood like you. He didn't have to, but out of his love for you, he did. He didn't have to be baptized. He was without sin. He noted no cleansing, but he says, let me fulfill all righteousness. And he is baptized so that he identifies with sinners who need to be cleansed. And his whole life, he goes through where he doesn't owe any obligation for a sin offering, yet he pays it. He fulfills the law. What he's doing constantly is saying, I'm the Son of God. This doesn't apply to me, but out of grace, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to identify with you in your life and in your sin. And here he says, I'm going to pay this tax. I don't owe it, but I'm going to identify with you, and in my freedom, I'm going to pay this tax. And eventually, he's going to the cross, where he's saying, I don't owe this price. I don't owe this punishment, but I'm going to pay it for you. God became man so that men and women can become as God. He identifies with you, and that's what he's doing here. He says, I'm coming. I don't owe this. I have all the access of a son to the Father, but I love you, and out of my grace, I'm going to come and share with you. And one of the great things that happens is, because he does this, when you trust in him, it's uniting you to him in faith, so that now, not only are all your sins taken him on the cross and all his righteousness given to you, but now your status as an outsider becomes that of a son or a daughter. Jesus on the cross not only pays for your sin, but he experiences the turning away of God, God turning his back on him as an outsider and a stranger, so that you can be brought in. And I think Jesus is pointing to that, because he doesn't say, then the son is free. What does he say? He says, the sons are free. And he's paying this ransom, not just for himself, but for Peter. And through that, kind of showing that he's doing it for all of us. And so what he's saying is, when you trust in me, you are adopted into the family of God. You become a daughter of the king. You become a son of the king. And all the privileges and all the access and all the resources that a son or daughter of the king has belong to you, because now Jesus has given himself and made you a brother or a sister. And God looks at you as a child. He's adopted you into his family because of what Jesus has done. That means you have all that access. That means you stroll right into the Holy of Holies. That's every time we pray, we just walk right into the presence of God. So your identity now is that you are a son or daughter of the king, and that shapes everything about you. He's not saying, I'm going to pay this tax because I have to. And most of us think, okay, for God to love me, I have to pay the tax, I have to pay the price, I have to do the things God wants me to do. And this totally flips it on its head. This says, well, you as a child, now you've identified as a child of the king, you're free. And so you're not doing things to get God to love you, but because God has loved you, now you're being obedient. Now you're showing his character. You've got this new identity as a child of God. It's not something that you're just born with. It's something that you've been adopted into. Now, had a farmer in Alabama was telling me he was watching his son do something kind of dumb. I don't know, you know, something as simple as, like, you know, trying to open something wrong, or, you know, just something dumb. And he said, I was kind of embarrassed, and I thought to myself, well, he's either gotten that from nature, which I've contributed about half to, so that would be my fault. Or he's gotten it from nurture, and I've contributed a whole bunch to that. He's just done what he's seen me do, so he didn't get on to him. He said, nature or nurture, either one, I contributed. It was my fault. Now, you'll find most good farmers are pretty good philosophers, too, right? That's, but in that, you know, one of the fun things about doing a catechism class has been seeing your children and how much like you they are. I mean, it's like, oh, my goodness, it's little Steve. It's a little, I mean, it's just, and don't you see that? Your children, do you find like when your children aggravate you the most is when they're acting most like you? Right? They're just, that's who we are is now that we're adopted. We reflect the character of God. It's not that I'm trying to be merciful and forgiving and pure because I want God to love me and bring me into his family. It's no, because I'm in the family, I want to show God's character. I'm going to be faithful because he's faithful. I'm going to be merciful because he's merciful. I'm going to be generous because he's generous. And so you have this new identity. But not only that, you have this new access. There was a house fire behind us Wednesday morning. My sound machine worked really good. Our neighbor finally called Robin for us to check on our dog because if you call me at 4 in the morning, you're going to be blocked. Call ain't coming to me. Matter of fact, I give you a list of times that if you call me, you're going to be blocked. There's three people not blocked. Other than Robin, it's Graham and Keelan. 4 a.m., they can call me, and I'll wake up and answer. The only one who's going to get me is my family. That's your access to God. Anytime. He loves you as a daughter and as a son, and anytime you're there, he's waiting for you, and he's for you. You have access to him. You have the resources. He's not going to withhold anything that's good for you. He loves you. And the idea is that we've been adopted into this family. We've been given new resources. And one of those resources is this new family of brothers and sisters that we have. Now, what a great thing to know that who we are is now children of the King. Let me just, for those of y'all who have bad relationship with your father, no relationship with your father, know this, you have a Father in heaven who loves you, who is ready to listen and give you all good things. You have a Father. And we have this because of Jesus and the fish. What is this, a fish? And out of his mouth, something comes. What is Jesus talking about? I wrestled with this, and then I remembered, hang on, Jesus has already said, and I'm thinking, what happens with fish? Only thing. Jesus said, no sign will be given but the sign of Noah. Sign of Jonah, right? Jonah was in the belly of the fish. He's told us this is what it is. He said, so will the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth. He's going to die. Isn't this what he's pointing us to? He's showing us that the Son of Man came to go to the cross, to go through the pit of hell for you. And even the name of this tax is a ransom. It's an atonement. You see what he's doing is he's saying this ransom for you, this atonement for you, it has been paid. You don't obligate anymore. It's been paid for you by Jesus to make you his children, to redeem you, and to bring you into his family. And on the third day, he is going to rise again from the dead with all power to say, this is so. And now you have a relationship with the Father. You have access to Father. You have the love of the Father because he has gone through the belly of the whale. He has gone through the cross and the burial, and he has been raised, just as he said right before this, that he will be betrayed, he'll be killed, and he will be raised on the third day. He has paid your ransom, and he has risen. And you have a Father in heaven who loves you and gives you freedom and access and love. Now unto him who is able to do more than we can ask or imagine, be honor and glory and power forever. Amen.